Well, again, good morning. My name is Mark, and what a joy it is to be with you as we worship and glorify God together today. Thanks to Eber and all our special musicians today. What a joy it has been thus far. Right now, I am going to read our scripture texts for today, and then after the reading, I'm going to invite our Union kids up. They have a special presentation for us this morning as well, and then we'll get to our sermon. So our text today comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28 and verses 1 through 10, and then just one verse from John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 25. If you would listen now for God's word to us today. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook, and they became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, they clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Amen. And then Jesus said in John 11, verse 25, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank and praise you for this day to gather in your house, to shout your joys. There is indeed joy in the house today. Amen. And Father, we just pray that you would open our ears and our eyes and our minds and our hearts today to see and receive your word. I pray today, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, Lord, would be pleasing and be acceptable in your sight. For indeed you are our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've been thinking all of what we've been through over the last 4 years. Remember what we were going through 4 years ago, 2020, right? I went to visit our former congregation in La Paz a few weeks ago, and you know, and visiting a lot of friends, talking to a lot of friends, we reminisced about things we went through together during that COVID time and how we were so isolated and how you know, we were isolated from community, from family, from worship, and it was like the scaffolding of life had just been removed for a season. And I think it really forced us to ask the question, what do we look for, or who do we look for our ultimate hope? A hope that can't be shaken by sickness or by disease or by setbacks or by things beyond our control. And one of the phrases that we used a lot back then, maybe you remember this, was this phrase, the new normal. Anybody remember that? Like, oh, what's going to be the new normal after this, right? I don't want to hear that anymore. The new normal. We talked a lot about that. And the thing is today I want to talk about not the new normal, but I want to talk about that one word, normal. Normal. I think we all found ourselves saying that a lot over the past years. I can't wait to get back to normal. I can't wait to get back to the way things were before. And here's what I want us to reflect on this Easter. And this comes in the form of a question. What if what God has for you What God has for me, for all of us as a church family, what if what God has for you is so much more than normal? What if it's so much more than normal? What if God is inviting us to something more than normal? I want to think about that today. On that first Easter, we're told by the gospel writer Luke that the women went to the tomb where Jesus was buried. That these were the same women they had seen Jesus hung on the cross, nailed to the cross. They had seen him die just a few days earlier. And when they found that Jesus was not in the tomb, that he had been raised from the dead, we're told that there were angels standing there at the tomb, and they asked the women this incredible question. They asked them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." I mean, what a profound question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And now part of that, of course, is Captain Obvious. When you go to visit a tomb, you know, ordinarily you are expecting to find death. You don't go to a cemetery looking to find life. You go there expecting to find death. In other words, nobody was expecting to find no body. Now, as a church, everything that we do and everything that we are hinges on that empty tomb. I mean, if it were not so, then none of this really matters. All of this would be in vain. We all could have slept in and gone out to brunch today. But if it is true, which I believe it is, then everything changes because of the empty tomb. Another thing I love about Easter is this. Easter is so honest. I mean, it's not, let's just forget about our troubles for one day, or let's believe in human optimism for one day. No, Easter acknowledges that things die. Easter doesn't promise a life free of suffering. But at the same time, what Easter announces is that even in the suffering, we can hold on to this hope that resurrection is coming. That God is bringing new life into dead places. And because of that, even when the bottom drops out, even when the world around us seems to be crumbling away, Easter holds. Easter doesn't. It doesn't depend on everything being okay in the world. It acknowledges the fact that there is evil. Things die. But with Jesus, they don't stay dead. And when the Almighty God takes something that was dead and he raises it back to life, that hope will never disappoint us. There's this moment in the Easter story. It's in Matthew's account. I just read that a moment ago. And it's a moment where Matthew really puts an exclamation point on the Easter story. We're told that an angel came down from heaven, rolled back the stone, and then we're told he sat on it. He sat on it. I mean, that's like an odd little detail to include, isn't it? The angel sat on the tomb. What's up with that? Well, y'all, I think what's up with that is this. I'll explain it. When my boys were younger, we used to wrestle around some, right? It's like what a dad does with his boys. You play fight, you wrestle around. And then when I would get tired, what I would do is this. I would just sit on them. Right? Because I was a lot bigger than them, and it was like game over, right? I just sit on them. I mean, it's like wrestling, like real professional wrestling or something. It's the object of the game, right? To pin down your opponent, in essence, to sit on them, right? And then you're victorious. And I think that's what's going on here, right? This is a picture of dominance, of victory, the angel sitting on the tomb. The 19th century preacher Charles Spurgeon put it this way. He said, "The angel sat there on the tomb, silently and gracefully breathing defiance to death and hell." It's like he was gloating, right? Like, is that all you got, Satan? Right, that's what the angel was doing on the tomb. And you see, resurrection announces that some things that we thought were dead, some things that we thought were beyond redeeming, that they're actually alive. They're alive. But you see, the opposite can also be true. I had this professor many years ago. He would talk about this, how places where we were expecting to find death, we actually find life. And in some places that we run to for life or for fulfillment or for meaning or for happiness, actually those are the places that lead to death. We're looking for life, but we only find death. Which brings us back to this word, normal. Normal. And you know, I said earlier, maybe, just maybe, God is calling us to something more than normal. Because if I'm really honest, I don't want to go back to normal. I don't want to go back to chasing after all these things that I think will bring me happiness or meaning or that I put my identity into. I don't want to go back to this flimsy version of faith that rests more in my comfort and my pleasure and in my success. I don't want normal. I don't want new normal. Y'all, I want new life. I want resurrection life. Amen? I'll tell you the story of what the world, the script of the world, or at least this is like the script of Western culture, or maybe it's American culture, but this is what it says is normal. This is the script of normal that the world tells us. And I want y'all to help me with this, to help fill in some blanks. You especially hear this when you're growing up. The world says this about normal. This is normal. Normal says that you need to go to school and you need to study hard so that you can get good grades. Right. You need to get good grades so that you can go to a good university or college, yes, and you need to go to a good college so that when you graduate, you can get a good job. Right on. And you need to get a good job so that you can make lots of money. Money, 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 right? You've learned your normal catechism. This is what the world says is normal. And then the goal of all this, right? The goal of all of this, to make lots of money, is so that you can be happy. So that you can be happy, right? That's what the world says is normal. Achievement equals money equals happiness. And I know there's a little hyperbole in that, so, you know, I'm not criticizing education or something, but that's what the world says is normal. Achievement equals money equals happiness. Now, if that's normal, you know, I'm not sure we want to go looking for life in these things, because ultimately they will leave us unfulfilled. But that's what the world teaches us to think. And so we go to these things, we go to them looking for life, looking for meaning, looking for fulfillment, and what we find is often emptiness. And so maybe there's some things, maybe there's some normal things. We don't want to go back to normal, right? What if normal just needs to stay dead? And instead, we need to ask God for resurrection life, right? Where instead of finding happiness in the next deal or the next house or the next relationship or in making lots of money, that we find happiness in losing our lives in pursuit of something so much bigger, a rescue mission to help people out of the darkness and into God's marvelous light. Maybe that's the kind of new life that we want. So how about you? Where have you been looking for life and something that only leads to death? Or for some of you, maybe you've seen loss, or you've felt you're in the darkness, or you've been suffering, and it seems like there's no way that life could ever come out of that place. But by God's resurrection power, listen, it can. It can. There is resurrection life, even in those places. I want to finish up today with a story. It's a story about my friend Matt. Matt was a father, a husband, and a successful banking executive. He made good money. His kids went to all the right schools. He even took his family to church. But Matt had a secret that he managed to hide from almost everybody in his life. Matt was an alcoholic. So after work one Friday, he was at a client's home, just hanging out, telling stories, and having a few drinks. After about 3 hours, he could hardly walk. For reasons unknown, he got into his car and started to drive home. He managed to drive his car. He got into his car, started to drive home. His next memory was waking up in his bed the next day with a splitting headache by himself. He panicked. He called his wife. His wife told him to meet her in the garage. And there she told him everything. How on his way home, he had driven the car into a ditch. He had managed to blow out all four tires and smash the windshield. Thankfully, no one was injured. Somehow, he managed to drive that car with four flat tires and no windshield about a mile further down the road. Somehow, he managed to back it into his garage, hoping that his wife wouldn't notice. And then he passed out in bed. Now he's standing there in the garage, and for the first time in his life, he just lost it. It felt like his whole house of cards had crumbled right there before his eyes. The lies, the posturing, everything. It was the lowest point of his life. It was like a part of him died right there in his garage. Later that day, he called an Alcoholics Anonymous number, and he asked about when there were meetings, and he said, "I might be an alcoholic." The person on the phone told him, "Well, we have meetings for people who might be alcoholics." And he went to his very first AA meeting that night. He wore a trench coat and sunglasses and hoped that no one would recognize him. What Matt found were a lot of people who had lost everything. People who, in a sense, had had to die to the many things that they had once looked for or looked to for life and for happiness. But then, in an odd way, what he also found was a lot of new life. Matt went to 120 meetings in his first 90 days. Every meeting was filled with story after story after story where death became new life. And that became Matt's story too. And now Matt is living his resurrection story. A while back, Matt was in a business meeting and he got a phone call. It was from a number that he did not recognize. And it was a guy who had gotten his number through AA. This guy had just fallen off the wagon. He had lost his job. He was screaming. He was crying. He was panicking for his life. And so Matt left his meeting, as he sometimes would when he would get these kinds of calls. And when he finally got to the man's house, he found what he later described as death warmed over. The guy had been drinking nonstop for about a week, literally drinking himself to death. Matt just sat there next to this broken soul, and finally the man calmed down enough to begin to talk, and Matt asked him, well, hey, do you ever pray? And the guy said, well, kinda. Matt said, well, what do you pray about? And the guy said, well, sometimes I pray simply, God, help me. Matt said, well, here he is. And the guy said, no, you don't understand. I'm so beyond saving. I'm so beyond helping. I would need a miracle. And Matt said, all right, well, you prayed for help, and here I am, an hour away from home, a total stranger. What else do you want? I'm a drunk who got sober sitting next to a drunk who wants to get sober. I know the pain. I know the loss. I know the depression. I know the shakes. I know the anxiety. I know the whole nine yards. But I'm here with you. And so is God. And that's what Matt does. He just walks into these places that look like death, that smell like death. And he goes into these dead end, rock bottom, lost everything, nowhere else to go places, like the places where he once was. And he watches as God brings dead things back to life. Amen. He's been leading a recovery group, an addictions recovery group, and he said it's the highlight of his week. He says, I love it. It's like going to the Final Four every week. Now, the last word that you would ever use to describe Matt's life is normal. It's not normal. He doesn't want normal. Normal doesn't raise people from the dead. So listen, whether you're just tired of normal, or maybe you're that person in the ditch right now, or you're the one in a dead end, and you look out and all you see is death, I want you to hear this today. God is not finished with you yet. He is not. He gave his life for you. He suffered for you so that your sin and your failures and your past and even your death won't get the last word. He took them. And he bore them on the cross. And then 3 days later, victoriously, he stood over that grave. Hallelujah. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray. So Jesus, we just want to thank you. We thank you that you are still bringing dead stuff, dead people, dead ends to new life. And we thank you for your forgiveness, which washes us clean. And we pray on this Resurrection Sunday, on this Easter Sunday, that we would find our life and our hope and our truest identity and trusting you and what you did for us 2,000 years ago on the cross. God, thank you for calling us into so much more than normal. Thank you for inviting us to be your resurrection people in a world that is longing for more. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen.